Go ahead and turn your Bibles to the book of John chapter 10 this morning. John chapter 10. Before I get going, I just want to say I've received some cards. I've received some gifts this month. And I just want to say from the bottom of my heart, thank you very much. I don't deserve it. And thank you for your kind words. And I got something a little extra special today that I just want to show you. I got some Milky Ways. These are extremely good when they're in the fridge. That's how I like my candy bars. I put them in the fridge. So that's what I do. And you're going to say, Chad, aren't you worried about your health? No. I got a good report this week from the doctor. He said I was going to live until I die. So I was encouraged about those things. No, I actually had a good report. I went in this week, and I tell you folks, that my levels were a little high last year, my sugar levels, and of course diabetes runs in the family. I got a good report on that, went down, and my blood pressure is usually about 165 over 80-something. You know what it was when I went in there? 128 over 74. Hallelujah. 2 minutes later, my wife walks in. It went up. No. No. She did walk in. I wasn't expecting her to walk in. But thank you for your prayers and that. I always get nervous about those things just because of, you know, my dad with his heart condition. I've already had my heart surgery. I don't want it anymore. That's not fun to do those things. And so, but anyway, I'll live until I die. I know some folks are disappointed in that thing, but that's how it is. John chapter 10. Verse number 1 through 18 is what we're going to read this morning, and I'm reading the whole thing for a reason, because we got a lot to see. I've taken away from our last few weeks of worship, and we're going to be dealing with salvation this morning. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some of the way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is a hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth a wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep and fleeth. And the wolf, I can't even talk this morning, and the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth, because he is a hireling and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And the other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. Let's have a word of prayer this morning. Lord, we are grateful that we're able to be here. We thank you for this time that we're able to open our word to you and for you. God, I pray that you would speak to our hearts. Lord, as I have taken some time away from dealing specifically with salvation, God, I pray this morning, as you've laid it upon my heart, to deal with this matter. Lord, if there is anybody in here this morning that has never accepted you as Lord and Savior, God, I pray that the Holy Spirit would just cause an uneasiness in the life of the individual that may be here this morning. Lord, I'm not saying this to be mean, but Lord, I'm saying it because I care about the soul that might be on their way to hell. And so, God, I pray that whoever it may be, man, woman, child, that they would come to the saving grace of Jesus Christ. Lord, as I begin to talk about the importance of salvation, I know that Satan's going to do whatever he can to cause a distraction or disruption in the service. God, I pray that Satan would not be welcome in this place this morning. Lord, I pray that you would kick him out of our thoughts as well. Lord, that we would place our thoughts upon you. I thank you for every person that is here this morning. I thank you for the ones who are watching on our YouTube channel. Thank you for their faithfulness. I thank you for their encouragement as well. And we ask you these things in your name. Amen. As I begin to give my illustration this morning, please allow me some time to set this up if I could. And as I begin to do this and go through this, you'll begin to see why I am doing this. So there's going to be some awkward moments here in the next few seconds because I'm not going to keep on talking. But you'll see what I'm getting at. And you'll understand that why I didn't do any drawing in school. Sam, I might have not need 15 books, but it's your fault you did it. Okay, so it's not a good circle, but you can kind of see what I'm getting at here. Okay, I will get back to that here in a little bit. Please don't focus on that. Let's focus on the Word of God. Amen? Here in this great chapter, we read of the Good Shepherd, the one who loves and cares for his sheep. We are the sheep that Jesus is referring to, and we need him in our life today. Today, without him, we are nothing. Today, without the salvation of Jesus Christ, we have no purpose, we have no meaning. But with salvation, that gives us purpose, that gives us meaning today. Some may believe that being a shepherd is an easy occupation. And I will tell you this morning, it's not that easy. Sure, we might have a different picture in our minds as we go out to the farm fields and we're able to see the flat lands that many of our farmers have. But back in the day, that was not the case when shepherds were on the scene. Matter of fact, if you were to still go to Israel and walk around Jerusalem, you will see the terrain that is there. You will see that they shepherd these people, these sheep, on some very dangerous places. So the shepherd is not an easy occupation. It is a very difficult occupation. But that thought alone is an ignorant thought if we're to think the job of a shepherd is easy. We can't even begin to imagine the responsibility that it takes to take care of the need of so many. People that are in places of position of being a boss or being a supervisor or being a manager, they have great tasks. They have a great responsibility that is upon their shoulders because they have to meet the needs of the people that are underneath them. But Jesus, being the good shepherd, knew of the hard work that lay ahead of him. Today, even though he's in the presence of his Father today, his responsibilities are still there. Matter of fact, I would say that they're probably even greater today. And his duties, while being with his Father, have never, ever been neglected. Why? Because he is the good shepherd. Here in this chapter, he gives a warning of those that try to enter another way, found in verse number 1. It says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, is what? The same is a thief and a robber." Those who try to take possessions of things that don't belong to them. Or, you can say, people that don't belong to them. Also, there are those who will try and tell you that there are many ways to get to heaven. But the Lord clarifies something totally different in the book of John, chapter 14, verse number 6. Go ahead and turn there. Book of John 14, verse number 6, it says this. It says, "Jesus saith unto him," I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. There is only one way to Jesus Christ, to the Father, and that's through Jesus. If the good shepherd would have had another way to get to heaven, he would have made that very clear in his word. But as you read in John 14, verse number 6, there is only one way. But there'll be others that will tell you there are many different ways to Jesus Christ. Let me be very clear on this. You cannot work your way into heaven. That's what a majority of the world is banking their relationship on with Jesus Christ, and that is working their way into heaven. You cannot do that. All you have to do to get into heaven is go to Jesus Christ himself. Seek repentance. Put your faith and trust and belief in him. There are some who preach that there are other ways for salvation. And that, my friend, is foolishness coming out of the mouth of that individual. There is only one way. I often think about many people in this church who are actually going to heaven. It's not a crazy thought because many truly don't understand the gospel that has been preached to them. See, I'm a firm believer, just because we're all here this morning doesn't mean we all have Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I get that because Jesus, in the group of the 12 that he had, there is one who denied him. One who walked around with him for three and a half years. One who was a part of his ministry. One who was a part of his prayer groups. One who was just a part of his life, yet still denied Jesus. Which is why I'm a firm believer, not everybody in here is saved. And I hope and pray that if that is the case, that that would be taken care of today. Because again, it's not about work. It's not about going to church and having your perfect attendance award. It's about putting your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. By the way, as we've been talking about worship these last couple months, the only way that you're really going to be able to worship Jesus Christ is if you have Christ in your heart. Some forget that. I know salvation is truly between God and a person. But with that being said, why then do we not see the fruit in the lives of God's people? Turn your Bibles to the book of Matthew, chapter number 7. With the book of Matthew, chapter number 7. We'll read verses 16 down through verse number 20. It says this. It says, ye shall know them by their what? Their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into fire. Wherefore, by their fruits, say with me, ye shall know them. We shall know other believers by their fruit. This is laid out pretty plain in this passage. Being saved means we have a tremendous desire to see others know him as well. I had one amen. Let me repeat this because maybe you didn't hear this. Being saved means we have a tremendous desire to see others know him as well. Amen. The good shepherd deserves to be talked about from the mouth of the believer. This isn't something we keep to ourselves, but it's something we should have a desire to share to the whole world. Obviously, we can't go to the whole world because we're limited on where we're able to be at one point in one time. But I tell you what, God has created other means for us to get to the whole world. He's created missionaries. He's created evangelists. He's given us money to finance those things. He's given us tracts for even our own community. We can go out and begin to invite people to church and begin to share the gospel with them so that they too can have the Jesus that we have. And so we should be talking about how good he is. We should be talking and bragging about how great of a shepherd he is to us, who is constantly taking care of our needs, providing us things financially, providing things for us spiritually and emotionally as well. Why? Because he's the good shepherd. How often do we hear about the good shepherd being preached in churches today? So the good shepherd deserves to be talked about from our own mouths. Not to keep it to ourselves, but to give it to the world. Let me ask this question. If we, the believer, keep silent about God, how are we any different than the thief and the robber? We're just not considered a thief and a robber, but we're no different. God gave us a mouth for a reason, amen? He gave us a mouth, he gave us feet, he gave us hands, he gave us eyes so that we can go to places, so that we can give the gospel to the world who so desperately needs it. Don't keep it to yourself. If he is such a good shepherd, why keep him from the world? Amen? I mean, we've all had something happen to us this week, and we've all seen the mighty hand of God work upon our life, and we've all gotten excited. And what do we normally do? We tell people, hey, this is what God has done in my life. Let me tell you about the good shepherd. There is a door that God has given us. There's an avenue that he has created for us so that we can talk about how good of a shepherd he is. Just recently, I've been putting some stuff on my shirts, and I got something on my vehicle as well, and it's called Forgiven. I like it because it gives a conversation. It's on the back of my shirt. Sometimes it's on my sleeve of a jacket. It's on the back window of my truck. Jeff actually has one on the back of his truck. And I've been driving around with this for about a year, Forgiven on there. Nobody's ever said anything to me yet. People say I'm intimidating, so they don't come up and talk to me that much. I have it on my shirt, and nobody said anything. I've had a few looks. That's about it. But here recently, Jeff had somebody come up to him in a parking lot and said, tell me what that means to you. That's the first time someone's ever approached him. God created an avenue so that he can talk about how good of a shepherd he is. And it was encouragement to this guy because this guy used to be a chaplain in the military. And basically, if I got the story right, he felt like he couldn't do anything anymore. But Jeff began to show him, hey, even though you're not in the military, there's still people. There's still people in this world that need to hear from you on how good of a shepherd he is. God has created avenues for us to talk about how good of a shepherd his son is. Amen? Here is a great thing to understand from verse number 2. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. Because the good shepherd offers salvation and we accept, we now have the doors of heaven open to us. But I'm going to go a little bit further with this illustration here in a little bit. Before salvation in any life, the doors of heaven remain closed because you haven't asked for the access. Verse number 3, the voice of the shepherd is comforting to the sheep. It says, to him that the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and he leadeth them out. The good shepherd knows all of the sheep by name. Amen? Go ahead and turn your Bibles to the book of Luke, chapter number 15. The book of Luke, chapter number 15. Just back a few pages. The book of Luke, chapter 15, tells the story of how important every sheep is to the flock. We read this in verse number 3 down through verse number 7. It says, and he spake this parable unto them, saying, what man of you having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than over 99 just persons with no need repentance. We see how important just one sheep is to Jesus. Sure, there is 99 that was still in his fold, but that 99 was missing something. It was missing one. And a good shepherd will go out and he'll walk through that treacherous terrain. He'll walk up those rivers that you don't know the depth of. He'll go to those forests. He'll go to the place where the critters and the animals are at that are trying to take the life of the sheep. He'll put his own life in danger just for one. Just for one. That's how important every sheep is to Jesus Christ. When a sheep gets lost, the shepherd will go out and look for the one that has gone astray. Thank God for that. He will spend every moment he can trying to find the ones that mean so much to him, even though there are other sheep back at home. I stand before you today. I understand now more fully what this verse means. My heart rejoices because we're together. I see sheep out here, but my heart is also heavy because not every sheep is here. And it concerns me and it bothers me. And I know there are things why people can't be. I understand those things. But it hurts knowing that there might be someone out there underneath the protection of the Good Shepherd. Sheep get lost for a reason. They get lost for this reason because they get away from the flock. When a sheep gets lost, it will be the voice of the Good Shepherd that will be used to bring him back to the flock, to the family. Some of us don't even recognize the voice of God because we shut him out so many times in our life. We don't even know when he's speaking to us anymore. Maybe when the invitation used to be given, our knees used to quake, our hands used to clench the pew in front of us. And now those things don't even happen because we've drifted further and further away from God. We don't even recognize the voice of the shepherd. We don't even recognize the Good Shepherd anymore because of we have gone astray. But let me tell you this, even though you might be astray, the Good Shepherd loves you and he's still searching for you. Why? Because you're important to him and he wants you back in the family of God. And if you're not in the family of God and you never been a part of his flock, he wants you in the flock of God. Why? Because he is a good shepherd. Many of us have wandered astray. Many of us have gone in our own way. But what has always brought us back to God? It's the voice of the good shepherd. As he's talking to us and say, hey, I miss you. I love you. I desire to have a fellowship with you. I desire for you to be back into the family. Won't you please come back home? And he's constantly knocking on our hearts. He's constantly seeking us. He's constantly looking for us. And yet we ignore him. The voice of a good shepherd. I long to hear the voice of my Father. Because it brings comfort. It brings a calmness. It brings peace. But I'll never hear the voice of my Father again until I'm in the presence of the Lord. But the voice of the Good Shepherd is calling us. And he's begging us to get back into the family of God. He's begging us to serve him. He's begging us to have fellowship with him. He's begging us to deepen our relationship with him. The voice of the Good Shepherd is comforting to a sheep that has been lost. You could be in here today and have no clue to what I am talking about for this reason, because you have no idea what it means to be a sheep of God's family. Sure, you might come to church from time to time, and I'm going to be honest with you, I'm happy that you do. But to know the shepherd, You have to have a relationship with him. If you don't, listen to these words. You're just a stranger. You're not a part of the family of God. We pass so many strangers in our lives. And I wish that they were a part of the family of God. Not only is he the good shepherd, but he is also the doorkeeper of the sheep. Verse number 7 of chapter number 10. It says this, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep." Here is why Jesus refers to himself as the door. He is the one who lets the sheep in, and he won't grant you access unless you know him. But there's also something about the shepherd that we don't realize, and that is this. A shepherd will lay down his life for his sheep. So as a shepherd is out in the field, and nighttime comes, he begins to get the fire going so that they can stay warm throughout the night, because no matter where you're at, it doesn't matter what time of the year it is, once the temperature begins to drop, your body begins to get cold. And so the good shepherd will gather his sheep in, and here's what he'll do. He'll grab all the thickets, maybe some thorns, some brushes, and things of that nature. He'll put them around the campfire, and he'll do this for this reason. One, it keeps the flock together. Two, this barrier keeps all the thieves and the robbers out. It's a barricade around them. But a shepherd can't keep track of everything that's around him. So here's what he does. He puts himself in the middle right here. And he says this, "I'm the door. These are my sheep. You're not going to be a thief, and you're not going to be a robber. Matter of fact, I'm going to lay my life down for you. In order to get to them, you got to take me out." That's what a good shepherd does. That's the illustration of the door. That's what Jesus does for us. As he builds these barriers around our life. And he does this for this reason, because he knows of the things that are going to come at us and attack us. He knows that those things will cause harm, they'll cause damage. And so he'll begin to build a protector barrier all the way around your life. He'll do this because he loves you. He'll do this because he wants to help you. He does this because he wants to guide you in your life. And he begins to place those barriers around for your protection. And all of a sudden, as that circle is almost completed, he completes it with himself. "I'm the door." Why am I the door? Because I'm the good shepherd. That's why. The good shepherd. There are thieves, there are robbers, and there are strangers who try to steal you and take you away from God. And the good shepherd is directing you to him. He's not directing you away from him, he's directing you to him. This illustration right here, it's a direction. It's going to start here, and it's just going to build around, and there's nothing around here. And right at the end, it's directed right to him. That's what he's doing in your life, directing you to him. He came to give life, not to take it away. You might ask, what is so special about this good shepherd? Here is why he is so special and so dear to so many of us. Because he gave his life for us. Without him, we are nothing, and life would have no meaning. To the lost sheep, you can hear his voice. He is looking for you today. He cares for you, and he wants to protect you. What is keeping you from opening the door to let him be a part of your life that he wants to be a part of? Again, with that being said, if he's a part of your life, what's keeping you from allowing yourself to let him be a part of somebody else's life by God using you to be a witness to this world? Life, newsflash, life is not about you, what you can accomplish and what you can gain here on earth. Life is all about Jesus Christ. But yet we put our focus on this world instead of putting our focus on the eternal world. Doesn't matter what age you are, what disability you have, anything. God wants to use you. Listen to the voice of Jesus as he calls for you. The stray sheep listen to his voice. Please, please hear him and go to him. Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling. Calling for you and for me. See on the portals he's watching and waiting, waiting for you and for me. Come home. Come home. He who are weary, come home. Earnestly, tenderly, Jesus is calling. Calling, O sinner, come home. I would hate for anyone to walk out of here today to reject Jesus Christ and spend eternity in hell. Maybe there's a member here who has never accepted him. Won't you do that today? Maybe there's a visitor here today that's never accepted him. Won't you do that today? Today is the day. Please, please, I beg of you, don't put it off any longer. The Good Shepherd, he loves you and wants to be in your life so he can open the door and he and heaven will be yours. Come home, come home. Here it is, folks. The walls have been built. The barriers, the protection. Inside these walls is your home. But there's one thing that might not be allowing you access. You have yet to go to the door to see the Good Shepherd and ask him for permission to come in. Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling. Calling, old sinner, come home. Let's stand with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Heads bowed and eyes closed. If God has spoken to your heart this morning, I'm going to encourage you to do a few things. Come and take care of business. Amen? You might say, well, I'm going to trip all over these books. No, I moved these books. They're gone. Lord, I pray this morning if there's somebody here that's never accepted you as Lord and Savior, who doesn't know the Good Shepherd, doesn't even recognize the voice of the Shepherd. God, I pray whoever it may be, that they come forward and accept you as Lord and Savior today. Lord, maybe there's a believer here this morning that they can't even hear your voice because they've drifted so far away from you. They've walked away. They've gone down a path they shouldn't have gone. But God, you're calling them. You're calling them to come home. You're calling them to come home back into these walls of shelter where you're the door. You're their protector. God, whoever it may be, if you've spoken to hearts this morning, I pray that your will be done.